time on Sunday morning after vacation Bible school to share some of the things that I learned this week that I thought, you know, let's recap because there is good messaging here. And as I was reflecting on the 5 days of vacation Bible school, it occurred to me that everything we did Monday through Friday reflected who we are as a church here at Bethel. I know it's in small lettering over at the bottom of that banner, but our core values are there, and they're on the front of the bulletin as well. And I realized that we totally lived into our core values here at church. On Monday, we welcomed parents and children from outside of our congregation, outside of our church family, and they felt at home. You want to know why I know they felt at home? They came back on Tuesday. If they didn't feel comfortable here, they'd go one day and they'd be like, I'm not going back. But they came back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We had Christ-centered community all week. Not only did we worship at the beginning and the end of Vacation Bible School, and it wouldn't be kind of the worship that we know as worship, but we sang songs. We heard Bible stories and Bible verses. We did actions to songs. So it's different than what we do here, but it was Christ-centered community, not only in worship, but in fellowship, because people made friends. Whether it was our adults interacting with kids or kids interacting with kids, there was community that was forged. And I'll tell you, some of these little ones really looked up to our high school kids. Really did. And how they model community makes a difference to those little ones. So we did that. We had spiritual growth. I mean, I can't tell you definitively if anything sunk in, but we were teaching lessons. We gave it the old college try. We talked about Jesus at every one of our learning stations. And I think the kids were getting it. So we instilled spiritual growth and the importance of that. And here's the thing, though. It wasn't a bunch of Lutheran kids. When I was a kid in the 70s, when we had Vacation Bible School, it was church kids and all the neighborhood kids who were already loosely associated with the church. I know for a fact that we had children from other faith groups here with us this past week. I don't mean other Christians, I mean other faiths. And they were here learning and hearing about Jesus. I mean, I think that is an amazing thing. We did it in a loving way. We weren't coercive. We weren't, you know, make a confession or an altar call or anything like that, but we had the opportunity to show how great our God is. And I think that's really, really neat. And it's a unique opportunity here in the Valley. We responded to needs. We were trusted with people's most precious possession, their children. And I want to think that by the grace of God, we responded to the needs of parents and children alike. There were friendships made. There was support. We modeled. I mean, it was a wonderful thing. And we didn't lose one kid all week. I mean, so we did pretty good there. And then there was generosity, the fact that we said, this isn't just for us, but we're going to do something for someone else, as I talked about the clean drinking water. And one of the statistics we heard was the fact that $5 will provide clean drinking water for one person for an entire year. Just $5. One of the kids was smart and asked, so after the year, do they shut off the water then? I'm like, no, that's not how it works. It's just a statistic. So, but like I said, everything we did on this Monday through Friday reflected who we are as a congregation, the things that we said are important to us. And then I ran across this quote that I think is so true. Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they've never failed to imitate them. James Baldwin, who is an author and a playwright from New York City, said that many, many years ago. And hopefully, with all the ugliness and nastiness of this world and of some people, if we can have a safe, fun week where we introduce children to Christ, we've made the world a better place. There's just no doubt about it. And around all of that stuff, what was the overriding thing? Of course, it was joy. Joy in everything we did. I mean, we didn't even have to say it. It was there. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we lived into the mission of this church this past week. And as VBS goes, every day has a main Bible point. And there's always a response. If you were here last year, you know there's always a response to the main Bible point. So this is the audience participation part of the sermon, that in each Bible point that I give, you have to respond with, wow, God. Like you're giving God a high 10 here. So, wow, God. And that's to ensure that you don't fall asleep this morning. So it's got to keep you moving. So Monday, we learned that God made you.
Wow, God.
Perfect, perfect. I knew a couple of years of this, you guys would get that. And I know as an adult, that seems really basic. It even seems elemental, but it's important. And here's why. Creation is not a random event. It is not a creatorless creation. It didn't just happen. Stuff didn't just appear one day. Even without making scientific arguments about this, which I could if I had all morning to talk about this, did everything we look at right here just show up? Even in its primordial origin, did our universe just appear one day out of nowhere? Even just the building blocks, like they weren't here one day and now they're here? I mean, no. Even when we talk about in science the Big Bang, don't even worry about yourself how it happened. Where did all of the material in the universe come from? And the answer, well, that's the stuff has just always existed, isn't satisfying to me. That's like moving into a house and saying, well, the house has always been here because the first time I saw it, it was here, so it's always been here, and we're not going to ask questions about who and how it was built or why it is there. I mean, even St. Paul in the book of Romans says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. In other words, Paul says, just look around. This isn't random. And here's the thing, we don't deny science in this church at all. And we also know that the Bible is not a science book. But we know that the building blocks of our universe came from somewhere, and at one point in time, even if they were a tightly compacted ball, that ball came from somewhere. But this point is more personal in nature. Kids and adults, we all do it. We compare ourselves to others, especially with social media and 200 channels on TV. Who is prettier, smarter, more athletic, more popular, whatever? Who has more likes, more followers, what? You know, keep going. This is a reminder to us that God had a hand in making and forming us and making us who we are. Even before we were born, we don't need to compare ourselves to others and feel less adequate because God has made us with unique traits and never wants us to be someone that we are not. And as you can see down in the corner, every day we also had a Bible buddy to remind us of things, including on Monday we had Decker the hermit crab, and we learned about these kind of crabs decorate their shells to hide from predators. They don't want to end up on someone's table as crab legs, right? Which makes sense. So they decorate their shells to hide within coral reefs, and each decoration and shell is unique and special and one of a kind, like we are. So then on Tuesday, we learned that God is for you.
Wow, God.
It would be one thing to acknowledge a creator, right? But then to think that the creator made us and then sits back in his lazy chair and watches history unfold like watching a really big reality TV show would be depressing. By the way, I found that picture of that TV online, and once I blew it up and got close to it, I actually had that very TV set. I bought it at Kmart back in like 81. It was a black and white, and the branding was KMC, and I'm like, looked at it, I'm like, I had that TV, so I had to use that. So it has nothing to do with my sermon. But people over the years have thought that this is how God operates. God created it all and then sat back to watch it all unfold. Thomas Jefferson, our third president, he believed this. This group of people were called deists, not Christians. They were deists. God created everything with a natural order, scientific method, all of that, and then God would sit back and watch it all happen like a clockmaker who would build a clock, wind it up, and then just let it run and never touch it until it ran out and stopped ticking. We don't believe that. We believe that God is active in the world, that God is working behind the scenes, that God wants the best for us and works that goal in sometimes in ways we cannot even see through us and through other people and through circumstances. And we were reminded, as you see there and heard earlier, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So if God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, we look and see what people are wearing. People have t-shirts, people have hats, people have bumper stickers. We see their causes and the things they're passionate about. Whether it's political or environmental or social or whatever, people rally behind causes they are passionate about. Well, our God is passionate about us. And if God had a t-shirt, it might say, I love all my children, or God is on our side. Now, we can't mistake that for the fact that God probably doesn't approve of everything we say and do or all the causes that we are for or against. But at the end of the day, we can know that God has our backs and will never be against us or hold anything against us either. And we learned about Tina the termite. Just what you want to hear, right? We're advocating for termites at Vacation Bible School out here in California. It's the last thing you want to hear about. But Tina was a positive role model because these aren't the kind of termites in California. These are the termites that build the huge mounds in Africa and South America, sometimes upwards of 20 feet tall. They look like towers. They look like fortresses, refuges for the termites. And if you remember the hymn, if you're Lutheran, if you don't, you might not know this one, but you'll learn it if you come here long enough. A mighty fortress is our God is based on Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble, because God is for us and not against us. Which carried over into Wednesday when we learned that God will always love you.
Wow, God.
Oh, you're fading on me. You're fading on me. It's not just that God cares. God promises to be present in our lives. You know, believe it or not, 1 in 5 Americans struggle with loneliness. Kids struggle with fitting in, and when they don't, they feel isolated. Adults too, for that matter. I mean, when people see friends posting pictures of having fun on social media with other groups of friends, and if you're at home looking at those pictures, you might feel left out, unless you're an introvert like me, and then I'm like, I'm glad they're out and I'm here, you know? But for some people, they feel left out. So we need reminders that we're never alone. I mean, God told Joshua, who was the leader of Israel right after Moses, while they were wandering in the desert without a home, wondering, will this ever end? God says to Joshua, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And after years of wandering and then wondering, does God even care anymore? We were a nation without a home, they were thinking. And God speaks up to reassure them that God is always there. Now, this lesson was going great for me until one of our own Bethel kids said, well, if God is always with you, what about when you're in the bathroom? I'm like, why do I get these questions? You know, why didn't they ask you? So, I didn't want to freak everybody out. So I said, yes, God's even with you in the bathroom. So if there's any parents who have to debrief their child, that would be my fault. But it's the idea that, like the air we breathe, we can't see it, but it's there. God is all around us too. And we learned about Bubba, the humpback whale, who uses bubbles to create a net around bait fish to catch his meal. And the way that those bubbles are made to circle, it is God who is always circling and around us and surrounding us. So then Thursday, we heard that God will always love you. This is probably the most important story that we heard all week, and that's what we read this morning, and that's why I chose this reading. Was this was the capstone, or the most important story of the week. It was the centerpiece of who we are as Christians, the story of the resurrection. I mean, if we were going to pick one story in the entire Bible that was most important to us as Christians, it would be the resurrection of Jesus, and the reminder that not even death can keep God's love away, that God chose to come be among us and demonstrate his love to forgive us. Jesus showed us that sin matters to God and that he was willing to deal with it, with all the brokenness in our lives, so that we can be reunited and reconciled to God through that death and resurrection, that God's love can shine through the broken cracks and chips of our life. And that God's love isn't for a day, but it is forever. Kind of like Hallmark cards, when you care enough to send the very best, God sent his very best in the person of Jesus. Nothing can stop God's love. And then we learned about Skylar, who's not a pigeon. Looks like a pigeon. It's not a pigeon. It's a bowerbird. And a bowerbird, they build nests on the ground so that when they want to attract a Mrs. Bowerbird, they make this nest, and then they go out and scavenge shiny, pretty things to attract a mate. They go hunt high and low to make the prettiest little nest to attract a mate. I think that's pretty amazing. I mean, bowerbirds don't build man caves with big flat screen TVs and big comfy lazy boys. He's thinking about someone else as he's building that nest, which is a reminder to us that Jesus never thought about himself, but did whatever he could to show his love to us. So it brings us to Friday. We're almost there, folks, that God made you for a reason.
Wow.
That there's purpose to our lives. Even when we don't quite know it, or it's slowly unfolding in our lives, there is a promise that God has plans and that there's more to life than just walking around. And most of you have heard this verse at one time or another in your life from Jeremiah. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Wow. God loves us so much that he won't force his plans on us. But make no mistake that God does have plans, and it involves being connected to him and to one another in Christian fellowship. And we learned about this little bee, not an American honeybee, but a Turkish bee, and a bee that's also found in Iran. And that this bee lays eggs, larvae, with a purpose, not in a hive, but in the ground where it builds a cocoon of mud and flower petals. It actually goes and picks flower petals, almost like a paper mache egg. And it builds it, fills it with honey, puts the larva in there, and leaves it alone until it is ready to hatch. Now, we are reminded that God made animals with specific kind of directions to do certain things, like building cocoons with flower petals, or building a honeycomb or a hive that each honeycomb is a perfectly hexadecimal kind of hexagon thing, that they're all even on all sides, that God has wondrous plans, not only for the animal kingdom, but for us as well. We had a wonderful week. Such a good ministry, not only for our children, but for the community as well. So I would say on behalf of Amanda back there, thank you for supporting children's ministry. Lives were impacted, not just children, but also everyone who volunteered. Amen.